Today on The Journey.
First John really focuses on connect. What's it like to do life together? What do you have to do life together in a significant way, in a meaningful way, in a purposeful way? That's what John wants to tell us.
Traveling companions are essential in the spiritual journey. To arrive healthy and strong at your destination requires intimate fellowship. So today, Ron Moore helps you develop that intimacy with God-ordained purpose. First, I want you to know about Ron's life-changing publication on prayer. It's titled, Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life. This PDF booklet explores the often mystifying practice of prayer with thoughts gleaned from key scripture passages. It's available for a gift of any amount, and you'll find it at ronmoore.org. Your donation today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a message titled, Belonging on the Journey.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John. We want to go through the first four verses, and we want to focus on this aspect of connect. Our five essentials are word, worship, connect, serve, share. And I want us to see as we go through 1 John that 1 John really focuses on connect. What's it like to do life together? What do you have to do life together in a significant way, in a meaningful way, in a purposeful way? That's what John wants to tell us. Now, as we go through these first four verses today, I want to set the context a bit. When Paul writes his letters, he always says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the saints in Ephesus. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, to the saints in Corinth. But when John writes, remember John's personality? John is a black and white person. He doesn't have time for introductions. He wants to get right into it. And we're going to see, he never says, I'm John writing to you. He just gets right into his message. The other thing we're going to see is there was heresy going on during that time. We'll look at a couple of schools of heresy in a little bit. And so John, he's about 80 years old now. He's an elder statesman. He has street cred. And he wants people to know that he saw Jesus, that he heard Jesus, that he touched Jesus. So here we go. John chapter 1, 1 through 4. Let me read it, and then we'll go back and look at each verse. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim it to you, the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you so that you too may have fellowship, there's our word we're going to focus on, fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, and we are writing these things so that our joy, or another version, your joy, may be complete. Now, when you're looking at a passage of Scripture and you're studying it, the first thing you need to do is get a big picture. But as you start to dive into it, there are decisions you have to make. Sometimes, some passages are like straightforward. No decisions need to be made. You know what it says. You know what you have to do to apply it. But there are some passages where a couple decisions need to be made, and 1 John 1 is one of those verses. The first thing we have to look at in 1 John 1 is, what is John talking about with word of life? Now, if you use the ESV, the English Standard Version, you'll notice that word is not capitalized. And so the translators of the ESV, along with many commentators in the ages, have come to understand that word of life is talking about the message of the gospel, the words that result in life. Make sense? If you take it, word of life, the message of the gospel, then that which was from the beginning means when Jesus came and he began his earthly ministry. And so John, establishing the historical Jesus, those who take this view, would say he is talking about when Jesus came and started teaching and preaching. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. That's true. All that's true. Nothing wrong with these two interpretations. How many of you use the NIV? When you read that verse, what did you see? The word is capitalized. And so the NIV and many other commentators, and I believe this too, John is talking about not the message of Jesus, that's included in who Jesus is, but he's talking about Jesus, the Word of Life. And if you're talking about the Word of Life, then you have to go back to this first phrase, that which is from the beginning, is talking about Jesus, who was with God in the beginning, the pre-incarnate Christ. Now, I believe that should be the interpretation. For one reason, that's how John talks. We learn that from his gospel. Remember the gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Nothing has been made without him, John goes on to say. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, the Word of life. So in Jesus, John is saying, I believe, he is the fountain of life, physical life, moral life, eternal life. He's the principle and source of life. Now, it's interesting that when John says that, he goes into this personal testimony. I saw him. I believed him. I trusted him. I followed him. I even touched him. Why is that so important for John? Remember, John gets right to the point. He's the guy that wants to call fire down from heaven and burn up the Samaritans when they don't want to accept Jesus. He gets right to the point. And during his time in this day, writing from Ephesus, he's probably writing to the seven churches of Revelation, or at least that area. And in that time, in the early church, and still today, there was false teaching. There were two basic schools of false teaching during this time. These developed later on. One was called Gnosticism. The Greek word gnosis means know. And a Gnostic, there's still Gnostics today, believe in this simple premise. Spiritual things are good. Material things are bad. Spirit good, material things bad. So that's why a Gnostic would say, wait, Jesus could not be the Christ. Jesus could not be the Messiah because he walked on earth. He took on flesh. Flesh is bad. God and evil don't go together. So Jesus could not have been the Messiah. So John is saying, oh, time out. We saw him. We walked with him. We touched him. There's another group called Docetism. And again, very simply, Docetism says Jesus' humanity was not real. He only appeared to have a physical body. Now, I don't know how all that works. And John says, baloney on that. We touched him. We felt him. It was real. It wasn't an appearance. He was real. There was one guy during this time, and it was called the heresy of Cerinthus. And some commentators say that John actually wrote against this guy. This guy died around 100 AD. John was writing against this guy. In fact, some say he wrote his gospel as a rebuttal to this guy, Cerinthus. And Cerinthus said this, Jesus was just a man. Then, at his baptism, the Spirit descended on him. And then, right before he was crucified, he left him because God couldn't hang on the cross. And so John says, I want to tell you about Jesus. I don't want to get apologetical. I don't want it up here. Personally, I saw him. I walked with him. I heard him teach. There was never a teacher like him. I watched one time where he took water and he turned it into wine. I was with him one time when there's a guy on a mat for 38 years and he just said, get up and walk. And the guy got up and walked. I was with him one time where he touched a blind man's eyes and the guy could see. I was with him one time when he told a guy to come out of the grave, and that guy came out of the grave. I touched him. I interacted with him. I was on the road with him. And then he died, and he raised from the dead Luke chapter 24, verse 39, Jesus said, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." That's the resurrected body. And that's a whole other sermon we could get into, right? But the resurrected body, Jesus said, "You can touch me and feel me." John says, "I touched him. He is real." He's the word of life. He's the source of all life. Now, verse 2 is interesting because if you'll notice after verse 1, you have this little dash, and then after, you have a dash. And so another way we could look at verse 2 is parenthetical. It's kind of in a parentheses, right? So John, in verse 2, is just taking a time out from his thought, and he's describing the word of life. If you want a definition for the word of life, here's John's definition in verse 2. "The life was made manifest. It came to be, and we have seen it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim it to you, this eternal life." So you see, this life about Jesus, this is not about just the here and now. This is about forever, eternal life. And that eternal life came from the Father and was made manifest to us because Jesus was always with God. In fact, Jesus was God. And now, verse 3. So, parenthetical verse 2. Now he continues, "That which was from the beginning, which we've seen and heard, which we've seen with our eyes, we looked upon and we touched with our hands concerning the word of life." I had that little explanation in verse 2. I'm going to continue my thought. "That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you." And here's the reason. Here's the first reason I wrote this thing. "So that you too may have fellowship." And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. The word fellowship is the Greek word koinonia. It is a rich, rich word. The base word of koinonia is koinos, which means common, and koinonia means a common participation, an interaction together. It's not about friendship, could be a part of that. It's not about hanging out with people you like. Fellowship is what every believer has together. Every believer has a modicum of fellowship. Now, we develop that fellowship, and we enhance that fellowship, and we grow that fellowship. But if you are a believer, we all have this in common, right? We have Jesus. There was a day when Jesus interrupted our life, and he broke in, let us know of our sin, and we turned around, we repented of our sin, and we started following him. He did all the work, but we have that in common. And so think of koinonia in two ways. First of all, it is vertical. It has to start with Jesus. Koinonia vertical, and then horizontal is with each other. So let's think of it this way. Koinonia is initiated by God. It is purchased by Jesus. It is experienced by the Holy Spirit, and it's expressed among believers. Koinonia has two parts, how we relate to God and how we relate to each other. So I want to start with how we relate to God. And I want to go over the gospel message. For some of you, this will just be a review. For some of you, you may be hearing it for the first time. For all of us, I want us to understand it. And if you're a believer, your assignment is this: in the next month, you need to share it with someone. Now, there are a lot of ways you can share the gospel, but here are the four major points that need to be in your gospel message. The first one was this: everyone is a sinner. No one seeks God. No one's good enough for God. We've all turned from God. All have sinned. Romans 3:23. No distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. That's where we have to start. If a person doesn't admit they're a sinner, then they don't need a Savior. And it's only God working in their heart for them to realize they're a sinner. Anytime there's a seeker, that just means God's been working in their heart. There was a heresy back in the New Testament. A guy named Pelagius said, yeah, it's about Jesus, but you have to kind of walk toward Jesus, and then when you get over here, then Jesus saves you. And it became the heresy of Pelagianism. Ephesians 2 says, you're a spiritual corpse. A corpse doesn't move. And so it's God who breathes life into you to say, I believe. It's God at work in you to realize you're a sinner. And so when we share that with someone, we're praying that God is at work in our life. We just get to be the ones who deliver the message. God's already doing his supernatural work. So the pressure's off. Jesus is the one working in that person. And we just get the privilege of sharing the message. So you're a sinner, number two. The outcome of being a sinner is death. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. When you think of death, think of separation. Death is what? The body is separated from the soul. Spiritual death, we are separated from God. Eternal death, we are separated from God forever. So the wages of sin is death. Again, a lot of ways you can share the gospel. Number three, Jesus died for you. Jesus came to do what you couldn't do for yourself. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Another great verse you can put there, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Last one, fellowship with the Father is through his Son, Jesus Christ. It has to be through Jesus. Jesus is not a good way or one of many ways. He is it. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, so that no man can boast. This is the difference between eternity with God in heaven and eternity without God in hell. And I don't know of anything more important. If you know this, then you got to share it with other people. We're talking about eternal life. When we think about the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and what they do, right? One God in three persons, different responsibilities, if we could say it like that. There's a great verse that kind of explains that. This is the last verse of 2 Corinthians, the benediction. And Paul wraps it up like this. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross to give us that fellowship with the eternal God. And the love of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And then here's the beauty, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us and allows us to have fellowship, koinonia, with God. And it's the Holy Spirit that allows us to have koinonia with each other. Fellowship is initiated by God, purchased by Jesus, experienced by the Holy Spirit, and expressed among believers. So let's think about that. Here we are, we have this commonality in Jesus, and we come together. Man, different personalities, different likes, different backgrounds, but we have this one thing in common. We all love Jesus, and he's brought us together. What would it be like if we were allowing the Spirit to really express true koinonia to each other? Okay, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to summarize 59 passages of Scripture. They're called the one another passages. A biblical place of fellowship is a place where you should never feel alone. Fellowship and cliques don't go together, whether you're 6, 16, or 60. They just don't work. A place where you can always belong, regardless of your job, regardless of your status, regardless of the house you left to come here, regardless of the car you drove here. It doesn't matter. Because we have that commonality in Jesus under the cross. We are all children of the Heavenly Father. Four times in the New Testament it says, greet one another with the holy kiss. Now, don't do the kiss thing here. That is weird. That's for the New Testament. That was their culture. But a handshake would be great, right? Looking in someone's eyes and saying, "We are glad you are here." Here's a place where you should never feel inferior, second class, or left out. Have equal concern for each other. 1 Corinthians 12:25. Accept one another just as Jesus accepted you. Romans 15:7. Doesn't matter where you come from, the color of your skin, your socioeconomic status. You know what? Doesn't even matter your lifestyle, because we're all sinners here. And we all accept you, because only Jesus can transform the heart. We can't send anyone a Fox News clip to transform their heart. Only Jesus can do that. And we're a bunch of sinners here. And we got our issues. And we won't judge you. We're going to pray that God changes you just like he did us. Only Jesus can transform the heart. Here's the place where you're allowed to ask questions. You know how intimidating it is for some people when they come here and I say, "Turn to 1 John," and you flip right to it? Oh my goodness. It must not be the place for me. I don't know if it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament. I'm just saying, let this be a place where questions can be asked, where new people can grow, where we don't expect little babies to act like adults. Instruct one another, Romans 15:14. Teach one another. Encourage one another. Build each other up. That's what you do in fellowship. You find what your gift is, your passion. You get trained in it, and that's the best part of your week. You can't wait to serve, or you use your passion and your gift, whatever it is. It's a place where you don't hold grudges, bear with one another, forgive whatever grievances you may have against each other, where your sin is confronted. Fellowship is not just us standing around singing Kumbaya by the campfire. Sometimes we got to say, "Hey, look, I love you too much. I'm invested in you way too much to let you talk like that, act like that, do those things." Where sin's confronted, where you're cared for and prayed for. We pray for each other. It's a place where you're loved. All the one another passages, guess which one gets the most print? Love one another. It's only Jesus can transform the heart. It's only the Holy Spirit working in us who can allow us to experience true fellowship with God. And it's only the Holy Spirit working in us where we can experience true fellowship with each other.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Prayer, that word and the practice of it, fills you with great hope and struggling doubt. You wonder, what precisely is prayer? And how can I pray in a way that God hears and responds to me? Those are the questions answered in Ron Moore's insightful devotional titled, Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life. During this month-long journey, you'll learn how living in awe of God, submitting to His will, and resting in daily dependence on Him can make prayer engaging and effective. Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
John's going to give us a list of things we need to know, the things we can kind of use as a checkpoint so we can confirm our walk with Christ. And the three things he begins with are these: walking in the light, a pattern of obedience in your life, cleansed once and for all, cleansed by Jesus, and then confession and acknowledgement of sin. And we'll talk about what confession means.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please drop by our website to order your copy of Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life. This daily devotional will give your prayer time purpose and joy. Engage 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life is available for a gift of any amount when you visit us at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Also, we invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Rostraber, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.